Hello and welcome to Healing from Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares powerful examples of how utilizing universal laws of energy and awakening to inner consciousness can support healing and help to manifest a joyful, purposeful life experience. Joining me today is Nick Seneca Jankel, author of Switch On, who can be recognized as a 21st century shaman and who has helped over 50,000 individuals, hundreds of world-class organizations like Microsoft, Disney, and Nike, and millions of TV viewers worldwide to switch on, unleash their creativity, and break through real challenges so that they can do more than survive and thrive. And isn't that what we really need more of in today's challenging world? Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Nick, you know, as guests of Healing from Within know, my guests and I seek to help listeners open their minds and hearts to the possibilities of their own infinite potential through self-discovery and self-mastery of emotions so they can begin to move past old limitations and beliefs and see themselves in this time and space free to manifest the life and destiny they were born to create. In today's episode of Healing from Within, Nick Jankel, who is a psychological coach, social entrepreneur, and innovator, and leadership coach with a triple first from the University of Cambridge in medicine and philosophy, will share ways to recognize personal power and how to make a difference. As he wrote in the dedication of his book, "In memory of the forgotten millions who have struggled with adversity and come back, able to heal their corner of the world." I like that very much. That's where it all begins with each of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, by getting to know ourselves and to reflect that into the world. Nick, absolutely. You know, I often ask my guests to think back to their childhood and recall an event, person, or experience that may have reflected, even at that early time, the values, interests, and goals that would later surface in their life and become part of their life plan or destiny. Because our plan is there from the beginning. It's just a matter of putting the pieces together and then moving forward as fast as we can to enjoy our life. So think back for a minute.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm in my childhood.
Good. Maybe we never left.
I can't actually think of anything specific. I my childhood was an interesting mixture of different influences, and I remember being very curious. I mean, I really was profoundly interested in everything that and how it all worked. And I guess that's still the reigning drive of my experience. And how I got into spirit and consciousness was ultimately a curiosity for how things work. And once I'd sort of gone through physics and biology and the sciences, and still realized there was more to understand, and then I went through the social sciences and still realized there was more to understand, and that's when I finally came to spirituality and realized that there was a whole hidden piece of the universe that mainstream, normal, average conversation doesn't penetrate to, and yet it's the most important part of it all.
Yes, absolutely. Well
and
said.
It took me a long time to get to that point to realize that I was peering at everything, sort of half. I saw half of the world, didn't see the other half.
Right, because we're multidimensional beings, and we have our energetic or spiritual side and our physical. And until we merge both, we haven't completed the circuit.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you just said curiosity, it reminded me of I did a Reiki healing group meeting at a center for seniors. And I asked them what it was. They were all I guess 80 to the late 90s. And what it was that they thought was giving them this long lifespan. And they answered curiosity. And they were still curious. And they still were learning and evolving and changing. And that's a very, very important aspect of living a
Definitely.
healthy life. So I'm glad you brought that up. Now,
Definitely.
you wrote something else that I liked in the book by Russian composer Igor Stravinsky, and you said, in order to create, there must be a dynamic force, and what force is more potent than love? Science has little to tell us about what love is, and right, and how to fall head over heels in love with ourselves, our work, and our world, so we can enjoy the sense of peace, purpose, and possibility most of us desire. To understand love, we need to look beyond reason. So that's where I think you went. And I guess I've been going along that road for a long time too. So
Definitely.
what did we get into? We got into the world's great wisdom traditions and transformational techniques, which merge a lot of science and spirituality. Now, Nick, bring us up to date and share some of the mentors or ideas that you ingested while finding your own path to infinite ways to create a great life.
Interesting question. The mentors, I mean, I didn't, sadly, or maybe not, because it's kind of indicative of the path I've been on, I didn't ever have any mentors, spiritual mentors or teachers. I've sort of self-taught. What's the word? I'm an autodidact. I had to find my own way because I didn't really have anyone around me.
You do mention people in the book that were great people that you read and were interested in,
Thinkers,
like William Blake and Carl Sagan. So tell us something about one of those people.
Well, I kind of, I, what's the word? I don't, I've sort of assembled, I've assembled my thinking from a lot of different places. And I mean, yeah, I peppered the book with different thinkers just to sort of, more than anything, to show people that this idea of a spirituality, which some people think is very strange, is actually very commonplace amongst a lot of different people who come to it from very different points of view. So you can hear in Stravinsky's words about talking about love as the creative force, which for me is a, he's not just talking about art by, individual love, our personal love, talking about the universe as love. And 200 years later, Che Guevara says that the revolutionary has to be guided by love as well. So you see these people coming from very different parts of the human experience, all coming to the same ultimate conclusion that love is the message.
We are fortunate enough, and I think we're guided to find some of these great thinkers in helping us along on our own path. Because the truth is, every great thinker, if you look back at Shakespeare or Leonardo da Vinci or Einstein, whatever field they were in, they discovered this sense of an internal force and a connection to more than everyday life, and they write about it. And if we're lucky enough to find that writing, then we validate some of our own feelings, which is very nice. And I like that very much in your book. And what you just said, how we are a collective mind, and we learn from each other. And all the great thinkers have eventually come through to this kind of thinking. Now, you mention, well, tell us something about your title. What is Switching On?
Well, I mean, it means a lot of things. It's kind of like a fractal idea that can go to different levels. It's a metaphor that encompasses a lot. I mean, at its absolute heart, I guess, are two complementary ideas. One is the idea that the experience of connection, of at-one-ment, of togetherness, of unity, is always available to us, but that often we've got the switch off. So the circuit's always connected. We're always connected to everything else because we're part of everything else. We are inherently part of one universe, but we don't always experience that because we've switched off the circuits. So to switch on is just to remind ourselves and reconnect with our true nature as one. That's the greatest sense of it, the metaphysical sense of it. But there's a kind of more practical sense about switching on for me, which is about taking whatever is occurring in our life in literally moment to moment. So the most mundane things, like we spill coffee on our sofa, whatever, on our couch, and that is an opportunity to find truth, heal any challenges, and become part of a creative moment.
So that can let you be open to the multiple fields of possibility, perhaps, and where in the past you may have reacted unfavorably and gotten upset, in this next moment perhaps you can accept it as being a necessary happening and not put too much judgment on it. And
exactly.
you've grown, and then you were opened, and then this is a breakthrough
exactly.
sort of curve for you.
Exactly.
Great.
Any moment could be that. That's for me, the teaching that I bring is you don't have to go to a retreat or a meditation center, or you have to go anywhere to do that. You can have it right now with any situation, however mundane.
That's true, but what you have to understand, and you wrote this, is that problems are natural and pain may be inevitable, but suffering is optional, and by switching on your creative or spiritual energies and your imagination and brain gut and hand power, you can correct, change, and improve and weather any challenge. And this is the key. This is
yes.
really the key to either
yes.
making a healthy, productive life where you're full of joy and positivity, or
mm-hmm.
you go into the suffering, which is
mm-hmm.
also a choice. And
mm-hmm.
we want our listeners out there to know it's not really anything on the outside that's going to create that for you. It's how
mm-hmm.
you perceive something, just like mm-hmm. the spilling on the sofa.
Yep,
in one
exactly.
moment it's a disaster. In another
exactly.
moment you can let go of that and accept
yes.
it. Nick, you wrote this, and this is important for our listeners, I believe, to know. Problems have been given a bad rap in human history. Conflict, aggression, failures, limitations, and disappointments are rarely welcomed as sources of joy. However, move beyond this initial intensity, and we can start to appreciate them as enormously valuable sources of growth. Problems compel us to break through.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the truth, and once people have that in their thinking, they won't look at problems the same way again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
And, yeah, I love that. Now, Nick, you mentioned several great stories or movies that start with a character who has a sizable problem, and you mentioned I love all these because I bring this up in my book too, because stories
yeah.
actually always start with a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Take us through the problem, and
mm-hmm.
eventually it develops courage, integrity, and of course the hero always wins. So you mention any one of the heroes you like, Harry Potter, Luke Skywalker, or Katniss Everdeen. I mean, she's very modern. I just saw her movie the
she
other
is
day.
She's very fierce.
Yes, and tell us what we can learn from these characters.
Oh, I watch so many movies, I get confused by my own movies, how many I've seen. It's one of my guilty pleasures is movie watching. But yeah, I mean, the archetypal hero or anti-hero, I mean, that I was actually teaching a class today on storytelling, and what we forget really is we watch the movie to see how the problems are resolved. We don't watch the movie to see the resolution. We watch the movie to see how the problem is resolved. And that's occurring in our life at any time, these narrative arcs. It's just we don't often see them that way because we're so caught by the idea of a problem being negative that we don't realize that this is actually a gift, even if it feels like it's just horrible. And especially, I think one of the things to watch out for in spiritual journeying is not to avoid, not to run away from problems, escape from problems, not trying to run away from them as if they're not sacred, because they're beautiful.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we can actually see people who go into denial because they're just frightened to face the situation. But it's only by facing it and going through it that you create something new and better for yourself.
Yeah, so, you get the juice. You can't get the juice until you get into the squeezing, if you like. You gotta,
right.
You know, you gotta get in there.
Yeah, so I agree with you. It's all about how you see what's
yeah.
happening, either favorably or
yeah.
unfavorably. Now, it seems to some people that a crisis, either mini or maxi, comes out of nowhere. But you write, and this is true, and I hope you can give us an example. It's not usually the case. Tell us what really happens before most crises.
And a crisis is the popping up of something that's been brewing usually for quite some time that we've just been either unaware of or ignoring, and suddenly we realize we've got to deal with it. So a super simple version, just to make it super simple, is you know, when your back pops out and you're on the in bed for 5 days because you can't walk anymore. So it looks like it's just a kind of, you know, hold on a minute, I was just, you know, picking up this box and then my back went out. Oh my God, you know, crisis. But actually, if you look back on the days and weeks before it happened, you can always see signals that you're, you know, there's a weakness occurring, you're feeling tired, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's maybe convenient to blame it on a crisis, as if it came out of the blue, because it feels like we don't have to take responsibility for it. But all these things show themselves, and the more we become cleared of our sort of blame and shame stuff, the more we can see these signals early and go, ah, I know, I'm getting stressed. Okay, I know how to deal with this now. This is great. You know.
Well, let me just say for our listeners out there, I am a Reiki energy practitioner, so everything has an energetic basis. Every physical symptom or reaction that we have comes from a thought pattern or a situation going on in our life, how we're handling. So the back usually represents, when people have back problems, it usually represents lack of support or finances or perhaps a lot of stress that has been going on for a period of time, like you said. And it doesn't just happen by picking up that box. You have been projecting your body through everything else going on around you and not dealing with certain situations, perhaps, until the body makes us pay attention. So pain is a good way, a wake-up call to take a look at everything else going on around us. And you gave another very good example. Like, for example, your kid has a tantrum in a busy grocery store. What could that mean? It's not just that that moment the child's maybe tired or hungry. Maybe it's a little more than that. What might be going on with that child?
Well, I mean, it's likely that, these things tend to happen in inconvenient places. And this, usually that's for a reason. It's possibly because the child has a sense that that's a place where it can get attention from you and signal some kind of protest. And all protests from a child are a protest about something that's occurring in the relational field. It's not sort of random. Children
exactly.
are so sensitive to us. I've got two very small kids. They just are a constant like signal board for me, basically. So if they're having an issue or a difficult day, it's guaranteed that I'm contributing to that in some way.
I love being around kids because kids help me remember some of my own patterns and what triggers my emotions. And when I see them being triggered that way, I actually smile. Now, you talk about crisis as being signals to show the way we are living might not fit the way the world is becoming and are signals for us to adapt. And you use three words, actually: react, repress, and remix. And these are important terms for us to think about what this crisis or what these signals are suggesting to us. So would you tell us something about that?
Well, this is really, really like the basic three options we all have with every issue, problem, crisis. We get to react, which is, you know, acting out, triggering some past pain, trauma, issue, pattern. That's the one most of us go with. Then there's a second option, which is repress and try and pretend it's not there. And some people spend their whole lives looking like they're dealing with stuff really well. They're just repressing it, keeping it, pushing it down, not dealing with it. And then the third option, which is the option that I obviously advocate and don't always follow, is to take the moment and see what is possible with that moment and remix the situation. And just the smallest shift in our attitude can propel something that happens a lot just into a different direction.
Yeah, that's a great word, attitude and perception, because how we perceive it and our attitude going into any situation is going to really determine the outcome. So
absolutely.
Perception is a reality, so we want to change our perception sometimes when that's necessary. And
yes.
It gets easier to do as you start to be aware of the patterns that are happening for you and other people. Other people
absolutely.
Also have their childhood fears and traumas that they went through. And when you observe it, it's easier to let go of any form of judgment or anger because you can accept it. You understand it. So what is a breakthrough? And how do we know we have one?
I was going to say, unless you're married to someone. And it's less easy to forgive them. No, I agree with you. When you're not taking it personally, you just see people are just in pain.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of it, really.
Thank you for saying that. When they act badly, it's because they are in pain.
Absolutely.
And wish them well. Not engage in it. Not foster it, not enable it.
Absolutely.
Certainly we want to engage what is more appropriate for our development and our well-being, but we can see it and we can understand it, and perhaps we can just send them some good energy and good wishes and goodwill and hope that they'll discover on their own, because we can't change anybody. They have to change themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. So a breakthrough, you wrote,
a
breakthrough is how nature has built us to have the unique ability to switch on to problems rather than switch off as we fight them or flee from them. So breakthroughs can be like happiness and love, which are our natural birthright, or it can be the other, running away from them. And you'd say the brain, tell us something about the brain and how the brain helps us determine what we're going to do and make that breakthrough.
Oh, that's a big question. I'm actually writing a second book at the moment, about what breakthroughs really are and sort of trying to understand the metaphysics, the deepest layers of what a breakthrough is. And what I've come to the conclusion is that human beings are unique, as far as we know, within the universe, that because we have access to language and meaning, we can shift these perceptions and break through things in incredibly dazzling ways. So what that looks like is a moment occurs, it's a crisis, it's a trigger point, and we get to choose to continue as we've always gone, or say, hold on a minute, I'm open to a totally new way of dealing with this situation, and that's the breakthrough. And it's the most beautiful thing. I think it's the thing that captivates me most in the world, is this moment of the what I would call an eruption of creativity from, I think it's from what people might call the invisible domain into the visible.
Absolutely. And now I'm going to ask you, because you said that, what do you mean when you say you are a 21st century shaman? And you are. And you are.
I think it's that. I think my job, whether it's working with an individual or working with an organization, is to help that eruption of spirit, which you might call from the other world or whatever that world, that other side is, and my wife calls it the other
Energy, yeah,
side.
the world of
Yeah,
unseen
energy,
energy.
idea, creativity, really,
Yes.
doesn't come from the material world. It comes from this world of ideas, of potentiality, of possibility. And as a shaman, my job is to usher that in, hopefully in a way that is least scary for the people who are having the breakthrough,
Well,
ultimately.
very well said. You know, I interviewed famous shaman Miguel Ruiz, author of the Four Agreements, quite some time ago. Now, he was a surgeon and he left his practice to study the ancient Toltec way of the Maya people. And he describes a shaman as a bridge between two worlds, the worlds of the unseen and the seen or material world. And that shamanism teaches us everything that exists is alive and has a spirit. So shamans speak of a web of life that connects all of life, and that the spirit or divine lives in all things, and everything on earth is interconnected. And any belief that separates us from other life forms, including the earth, the stars, or wind, is really an illusion. So what you're saying here is the way for us to see ourselves as being part of everything, and a breakthrough as being part of this creative growth process.
Yes, it's us as creative force, as the Godhead,
Yes.
as the it's a la it's and that's what's amazing about being human is we get to be conscious of our own role within the creating, which is the universe, which is constantly creating, and
Yes,
that is
yes.
insanely amazing.
Yes, I like that. Insanely amazing. If you could only teach people one of all the Thrive hacks in your book, what would it be?
So many things, so many things. I'm actually just writing a list of the 10 most important spiritual concepts for a blog. But the one that's coming to mind, I'm not saying I'm always going to say this one, but this is the one that's here right now, is surrender. Because the creativity comes when you surrender. The creativity is always there. There's an inner shaman in every single person in the world, I believe. Your own shaman is inside you, wanting to bring these otherworldly thoughts and ideas and intuitions into your reality, but what stops it is attachment to old stuff.
I want to thank you, Nick Seneca Jankel, author of Switch On, for sharing a wonderfully scientific and practical approach to switching on and breaking through past responses and views to choose unique new ways to know ourselves, our patterns, and see new possibilities for creating greater health, prosperity, and love. For more information and to purchase this book, go to Nick Jankel, JANKEL.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Nick has described how nature has helped us evolve into creatures that must use their ability to switch on to problems rather than go into denial and switch off, fight them, or flee from them. It is the creative spirit within that offers us the neurobiological capacity to be creative and successful in making these breakthroughs and changes in our perceptions, patterns, getting rid of fears and limitations, allowing us to thrive, grow. And as Nick wrote, the heart, no matter how deeply wounded, can heal. Every head, no matter how rigid or afraid, can find a way to imagine and hope. And every set of hands and feet, no matter how racked by addiction or bad habits, can find a way to flow. You were born to switch on, break through, and thrive. And we all come back from anything if we know how to reconnect, rewire, and remix. Nick and I would ask you to remember that science, physics, and ancient wisdom traditions are saying much the same thing. Everything is connected, and science and spirituality offer us a way to know ourselves, the physical and energetic world and universe in its magnificence and unlimited potential. The key is to discover within a sense of courage and resilience to face and change all thoughts to those that sustain and enhance your joy and happiness during the human life journey. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to hear leaders in the field of higher consciousness, science, spirituality, transformation, energy medicine, all combine age-old wisdom with scientific advancements for improving the human and world condition. You may also listen to shows from Healing From Within on webtalkradio.com and dreamvision7radio.net. Thank you.